everybody. You're listening to the For Your Consideration podcast. Last episode of 2021. As always, I'm joined alongside by my friends, trusted colleagues. First up, we have a woman that needs no introduction. Fresh off her tuna fish sandwich, now guzzling down some wine. We got Tamika Reed Newman in the house. How you feeling this? I was going to say New Year's Eve, but it's not New Year's Eve, but the eve to New Year's Eve.
I had actually salmon tacos this evening, and they were quite good.
I wasn't too far off.
Still fish. but I'm quite well, ready for a new year. How are you?
I'm good. Hanging in there. And, of course, another man doesn't need any introduction. Rocking the Martin hat. But I'm, you know, I don't know what type of beverage he has. I know it's some type of alcoholic beverage.
It's a beer, unfortunately.
Typically.
Absolutely. Is your New Year's resolution going to be to give up drinking alcohol?
Absolutely not.
You got Danny Baez.
Yeah, we in the house.
Yeah. How are you feeling this eve to New Year's Eve?
I feel pretty neutral about it.
Feeling pretty gray.
I mean, it's honestly, it really hasn't been, these past 2 years hasn't been anything great.
It's nothing to look forward to.
I think
this is gonna get worse. Wow.
I know. And especially with the COVID cases increasing and everything, it's just like, wow, this is how we're gonna start 2022 off. But you can also start off 2022 by listening to our podcast and getting all your movie news and staying up to date on movie reviews by listening to the For Your Consideration podcast. Yeah. Enjoy the plug.
There you go. Perspective. It's all about perspective.
Yeah. All right. So there has been some movies, some shows that have come out over the past couple of weeks that we need to talk about. I think the biggest one we need to talk about is Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie, which
is through the roof.
Yeah, which Danny, I don't know, have you seen
finally,
the ending?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I was like, can we talk about the whole movie or can we only talk about like 69% of it?
It was more like 75.
Yeah, it was 75. It was almost 80. For those who don't know, we went together, me and my girlfriend went, and right when all three Spider-Mans were about to jump Green Goblin, basically, the power went off in the theater and everything went black.
It was the worst possible moment.
Yeah. I know. And you know what the crazy thing was? That actually happened to me during another Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 3, back in 2007. When at the very ending, after Green Goblin dies, or after Harry dies, all the lights went out, and I mean, the movie
like you have that sit down time where like, okay, maybe it's gonna come back on, maybe they have and they're like, nope, get your ass out.
But anyways, Spider-Man No Way Home came out a few weeks ago. We all watched at different times, so we really couldn't talk about it all. But Tamika, you were the first person to see it. This movie is blowing up, even during this pandemic. It's amazing sort of seeing how much money. It's already crossed $1 billion. Could you imagine if this wasn't the COVID times, how well this movie would be doing?
Wait, can we just talk about that, though, for a second? I had to look it up because I was curious. It had a budget of $200 million, and it's already grossed $1.082 billion.
Yeah.
Bruh, Tom Holland is fracking rich.
Yeah, there's been talk about him getting a new contract, which would up, you know, how much money he's getting paid. Anyways, outside of that, I mean, obviously they're going to make a lot of money off of this movie. But the more important thing is, how did you feel after seeing Spider-Man No Way Home? Is it the best Spider-Man movie that we've gotten?
Is that to anyone or?
It's to you, Tamika.
I honestly want to see it again, but I have I haven't watched it again just because it's 2.5 hours and I already watched West Side Story twice. I can't sit through another 2.5 hour movie. I don't have that much time available in my life. But is it the best? Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's a hard question. I would definitely say it's at the top. It's definitely at the tippy top of best Spider-Man. And I'm going to go so far as to say superhero movies in general. I think it's pretty up there.
Yeah, I would say so. That's fair. I think it, for me, it's definitely the best Spider-Man movie. For sure. Absolutely. By far and away.
And what makes it the best one for you?
It's just the... There's a lot of moments where just like everybody just stopped, especially if depending on what theater you went to, everybody was stopping and clapping and just like invested into the movie. And I, especially during the pandemic era, like you really haven't had that. So having that just heightened the film immensely.
For sure.
And just like how they brought everything in, it made sense for the most part. There's, you know, there's a hole or two, you could say, but just like that, the feel of it all and the emotion that I'm sure we'll get into, it's just up there for me, for sure. I enjoy this more than any other. Into the Spider-Verse is definitely close, though, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse is unique in the fact that it is an animated movie, but it definitely is. It's definitely close. They're definitely neck and neck. I don't know. I still think Spider-Man 2 might be the best Spider-Man
movie. It rivals it for sure.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would say about Spider-Man 2, even though it's up there too for me as well, it's just like it dips into melodrama a little too much for my liking. That's the only reason why it's not at the tippy top. Mm.
But staying on this movie, what I loved about this movie, there's so many things I loved about this movie. I mean, we obviously know about Andrew and Tobey Maguire coming back respectively as their Spider-Mans. I love their interactions with Tom Holland, the sort of brotherly type of bond that they had. You can tell that probably even offset that they were getting along, and I think that translated well on screen. And I think the way that they introduced them was good as well. I mean, I think they could have flabbed up that whole situation and how they introduced them. I mean, it was like the worst kept secret that they were going to be in this movie. And the way that they somehow managed, like when they came on screen, I didn't know that they were about to be on screen. They didn't telegraph that at all, which I thought was very well done. I love the emotional scene that they had on, I guess, what was it, on top of high school? When all three of them, top of high school, and they're all talking about their losses, and I thought that was a great emotional scene. And of course, the ending scene, the whole action packed scene, the climax of the movie, I thought was very well done. And they did touch on the fact that that Toby and Andrew's Spider-Man, they never worked as a team before, and I thought that was like a little nice wrinkle in there. By touching on that, because obviously when their plan is when they first start off like fighting all the villains, it's not going well, and then they have to regroup, and then everything starts to like sort of fall in place. To me, I think Tom Holland, to me, he's the best Spider-Man, and then in my opinion, and I think he definitely shows his acting chops in this movie. I think the emotional beats he hits on all of them. You know, when Aunt May dies, he definitely hits that emotional beat as very well. I thought all the action sequences were choreographed very well. I thought all the villains in the movie had a purpose in there. I mean, I love Alfred Molina. I love Jamie Foxx. I love all their like banter when Peter is trying to save them, and he takes him back to Happy's apartment, and they're like all the villains are in there, and they're all talking and chatting. And I thought that was a great scene. But to me, the villain that stole the show was Willem Dafoe. Green Goblin. I think he was the best, and especially that scene in the condominium, like when he's fighting Peter. That was some real brutal, down, like gritty fighting. which I love. Like even the first Spider-Man movie, when Green Goblin is fighting Toby's Spider-Man, that's a brutal scene. Like that, he gets effed up in that scene. So it was great.
It just keeps coming. Like I rewatched it recently, and it was just like boom, boom, boom. I'm like, bro, let him breathe.
Yeah. So those are great. I love Ned and MJ as the two sort of standalone like human characters in there. Doctor Strange was great. That whole sequence when Peter's trying to get the box from Doctor Strange, and they're going into the Mirrorverse or whatever that's called.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was a really very well.
I'd be surprised if that wasn't that doesn't win an Oscar for best special effects for sure.
That whole sequence I thought was great. There's a lot of things I loved about this movie. Danny alluded to that there are some plot holes in there, whatever. But overall, I definitely was in the feels, especially again when you see. When you see all of them together, like it definitely brings them home. No pun intended. But
I tell you what, whatever. Too. Like Andrew Garfield in this movie,
he was.
I
really
don't know
good.
Why he was so freaking.
He was really good. He was really good.
And he was like, dude, like why does he feel better in this than he did in two movies?
Because the writing is better.
The writing is so much better. And that's the thing is like, that's what I keep saying is Andrew Garfield was never a bad Spider-Man. It was the material. He was always good at what he did.
Yeah. When he first came in, like when he first makes his appearance, like the audience, like more than even Tobey Maguire, man, they really raved for him. And I was like, I get it, man. And the way he played it, especially when he, when MJ is falling from the scaffolding.
Yeah, that got me too, man.
Dude, when he saves her, God, I don't think there was a dry eye in the building, man. Like,
my eyes were dry. Let's not be dramatic.
No.
Whatever, man. It hit, man. It really did hit. He just played it so well.
Yeah, he did. And also knowing the fact that he couldn't save Gwen.
Yeah.
When she just got plastered by cement. An amazing Spider-Man too.
Well, it was Whiplash, wasn't it?
yeah. I mean, ball her head bouncing off.
Oh, did it? Yeah,
It did because you heard it.
Yeah,
and to this day, I'm like, I can't. Like every time that I had that part of the movie happens, I like cover my ears. I'm like, I can't. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but no, you're right. I mean, Andrew Garfield was really, really good. And you know, there are the people out there that want to see Amazing Spider-Man 3. Going off a little bit, how would you feel if they did bring back Andrew Garfield in a different universe, right? Say it's part of the Sony-verse. How would you feel about like them having a solo Amazing Spider-Man 3 movie with Andrew Garfield?
Don't make it multiverse.
I agree. I feel like standalone,
it wouldn't work.
I feel like you wouldn't do it justice.
You need Marvel's writers. You need the MCU
you
writers,
do.
Man.
You yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
the only reason why he felt like he had the, you know, I gave him the credit that he's gotten because the writing and, you know, and the way he played it was so well. And it just fit in the MCU so well. So to have Sony, whoever's, I don't know what studio, I don't know, who cares? It's sad. It's trash. That's not right
now. Yeah, especially after you see Venom. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. Which.
Yeah. I do want to point out a couple things that were kind of my favorite parts. I will say, Jamie didn't really hit for me in this one.
I don't know. He did it for me. I thought it was a major improvement from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
And I think that was his doing. Like, he was just like, bro, if you're going to put me in this movie, don't make me like I was before. But I don't know. But y'all know how I feel about Jamie Foxx anyway.
I don't know but how you feel about Jamie Foxx.
How do you feel about Jamie Foxx?
I thought we had this conversation before.
No,
I don't
we
really
never
care
had
for
this
him
conversation.
Very much. I don't care for him.
What did he ever do to you?
He didn't do anything to me. No, it doesn't mean not like him.
No, I'm just wondering, like, where did this Jamie Foxx?
It's a long story. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. All right. So, and it all comes back to Django's where it started. But anyway, we're moving on. We're moving on.
We're going to have an episode
that's
dedicated
fine.
To Django.
And we will discuss it at that point. But I did like the banter. I think at one point, I think I said this last episode too, was like it kind of fell for me, like the energy kind of went down a little bit because there was this play between the different characters. And I would say that I like seeing all the old characters at the same time. Like even the Gator guy, I honestly forgot the he was Gator in the movie. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I had to think about it. I'm like, what movie was he in? I was like, oh, the first Amazing Spider. I had to really think about it because I was like, who is this guy? But another thing, William Dafoe, I said last time, absolutely outstanding. And I really feel like in this movie, we got to see like his really evil side. Not to say he wasn't evil in the first movie, the Spider-Man movie, but I think he got more screen. We got more screen of the Green Goblin.
Versus... Well, they didn't cover him up with that stupid helmet. That's why.
No, they didn't. That's one of the first things they did. They broke the mask.
Yeah.
I know. Well, but even aside from that, like what I'm saying is you got more of the Green Goblin versus his alter ego, whose name, this doctor scientist, I can't remember his name.
Osborn.
Oh my God. Why did I forget that? So Norman Osborn, I feel like you saw him more in the Spider-Man movies versus here you got more Green Goblin and you got to really see his evil and it really came out and he shined. And I really loved, oh my gosh, I got giddy like a little girl when he jumped up on his glider and he was wearing the costume that was reminiscent of the old cartoon.
Yeah.
And it was like the purple. I got so excited. I was just like, oh my God, it's the Green Goblin. And I really liked that part. I don't know if anybody else really noticed that. But
no, I did. Yeah, for sure I did.
Mm-hmm. I loved that. And then when you had the three Spider-Men and they were kind of sitting around towards the end waiting for the villains to come, the movie almost kind of made fun of itself in a way because you have them, you know, not competitively comparing their, you know, their villains, like what's the worst villain you've had. They weren't necessarily competing, but at the same time, movie-wise, I feel like it kind of made fun of itself because Andrew Garfield was like, yes, I'm number three, I know. It's like,
but it is funny too because they even made a joke about the villain. And when they're like going around and saying, oh, who did you guys fight? We fought him. I was like, oh, I fought a guy dressed in a rhinoceros
suit. Right.
I want to fight an alien.
Yeah.
I'm the latest Spider-Man here.
basically and it was like very ridiculous, but they recognized how ridiculous it was, and I thought that was really fun. But I wanted your opinion, and you guys probably have more insight on this than I do, is that what is the potential of Spider-Man's, I guess Ned is the best friend's name because I think you guys said it already, what is the potential of him now becoming a villain now that he doesn't know who Peter Parker is? Because I feel like it was almost foreshadowing in a way. And that's why I said maybe you guys know more about this than I do. When he says, like, I will never, you know, become a villain and try to kill you. And Peter's just like, okay. But then at the end, he forgets who Peter Parker is. Mm-hmm. What is the potential of Ned actually now becoming a villain?
Well, that's one of the things we actually didn't talk about. So I'm glad that you brought it up, which was the ending of the movie. Which basically Doctor Strange casts a spell where everyone forgets that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, even though Spider-Man exists. Which I feel like if we were going to do that, won't you just get rid of Spider-Man? Everyone forgets that Spider-Man ever existed. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I feel but Spider-Man didn't exist. Just Peter Parker. They forgot Peter Parker, not Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, forget the man who's behind a mask.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Which I think that makes sense. I think that's fine.
I think so. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Because then you don't forget that he's an Avenger necessarily. You just don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that the Avengers forget that Spider-Man is. That Peter Parker is an Avenger. Or, you know what I mean? Like, they forget guy that's behind my. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
I see. Yeah.
Well, they'll have to. Well, the way they set it up in the end, like he moves into that raggedy apartment and he's like the legitimately, this is the MCU's version of neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah. Which I'm happy that they're going to. I know a lot of people were upset, you know, with the whole Tony Stark Jr. Spider-Man. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was a great way to introduce the character.
Yeah.
And now that they've done that part of it, they've sort of ended this trilogy and now they're sort of going into the the more, I would say, probably the more mature Peter Parker as he, like, goes into college and has to navigate through that. But definitely, what was your question again? Because we got off a little bit.
No, my question is, Ned, what's his potential of now become a villain and, you know, foreshadowing like, oh, I'll never do this. But actually now you probably could become his villain because you have no idea the connection you have.
Yeah, there was rumors out there that in this movie that Ned was going to be a villain or going to be a version of Green Goblin because they were saying that he lost so much weight and all this other stuff and but yeah, that is an interesting line in the movie. Like, it seems sort of weird that they would place that in there without, like, it seems like they're foreshadowing the possibility that Ned could become a villain.
Right. I thought they foreshadowed more that he's just gonna become a sorcerer, maybe.
Well, now that he's not a sorcerer. Well, he.
Oh, but he forgot.
Yeah, I was gonna say he forgets that he was a sorcerer. But you're right. Up until that point, yeah, I thought that Ned was going to be like a sort of sorcerer supreme junior. That's what they were. That's what they were going with. Yeah, but it also like I was talking to one of my friends about it. I was like, how would you feel if like you didn't say, for example, you weren't a superhero? But in order to save the world, everyone had to forget that you exist. Like your friends and your family and
right.
How would you guys feel about it?
I don't know. I think it would be pretty hurtful. I mean, some people I'd be like, okay.
I'm glad you don't remember me.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. I can go live under a rock and I'll be okay. But I don't know. It might be really hurtful if I, like, you know, saw some family member or, like, even my husband walking down the street and, you know, didn't know me. I think that would be really hurtful.
Yeah.
I'd be really sad. Like, I'd follow him around and be like, you better not date nobody else. But
that's that stalking.
But,
Would it make you feel good knowing that you saved the world?
Nah.
Give you the butterflies?
I don't know. I guess if it means saving the world. Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, if the world is ending and the only thing that works is for everybody to forget who I am, that there's no point of everybody remembering me if there's no world. So save the world, forget who I am.
Yeah. Hmm. I think that also speaks to Peter's character sort of maturing, and that was obviously a difficult decision to do that, and obviously it, you know, the theme of the movie, all your actions have consequences, you know, to them, and he realizes that, you know, with the passing of his aunt, the death of Aunt May, which I gotta admit, I know a lot of people felt some type of way. I honestly did not feel some type of way when they killed her off. Like, I felt like the emotion of Tom Holland's character and, you know, of Spider-Man losing a valuable member of his, you know, his family. But I never was that attached to Aunt May as a character. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they killed her off. I feel sad that she's not going to be a part of the MCU anymore.
Yeah, because in these streams, trilogy of movies, like, they never gave her and Tom Holland the emotional beats that you found in other Spider-Man movies. But I still felt a certain way because I don't know. I just love Marissa Tomei. And I thought... But the way she played it, like, she was like... She didn't know that she was dying. Like, that was the sad part.
They got me on that because I'm like, oh, she's still alive. I thought she was going to die. And then, nope, she actually does die.
Yeah, on the second viewing, I realized, like, the glider had, like... It's the freaking glider. Like, it has those sharp, like, the knives, basically spears at the, I was like, oh, that's what happened. Mm. I thought maybe it was just a blast, but no, it was like, she died as soon as that thing came crashing through.
Mm. But that's why I got, I was confused at that part when she jumps back up, because I realized what was happening when he slammed towards her, because it was almost reminiscent of the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire when the glider slams into him and kills him. Yeah. So I was just like, oh my gosh, I know what's about to happen. So when she jumped up, I was like,
What? She survived.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. No. I felt the same way.
Yeah, but so then, when she was like, when she started to like finally feel, I was like, ah, I see what you guys did there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely felt it. It definitely said something, but I feel like it's a necessary moment in every Spider-Man's life, regardless of what part of the universe they come from. They have to go through that traumatic experience. And I feel like he would not have made the same decision that he did had he not experienced that level of pain. To the point where he's like ready to kill the Green Goblin. He's like, no, I'm going to kill you. That you've never seen that level with Spider-Man or with the Spider-Man.
So a little deviation here. Out of the MCU side characters, who would hit you the most if they killed off, if you could think of one?
All the MCU?
Yeah, of all the MCU side characters.
That's a tough question. Ooh. Damn, that's tough.
Like, I think I would be... I don't know why he was the first person that came to my mind was Happy.
I would feel a certain way, but I don't know if I would be super sad about it.
Yeah, I can't say I'd be heartbroken.
Like, I would feel more sad if, like, this version of MJ died.
Yeah.
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 Because we haven't gotten a Doctor Strange sequel. So we haven't gotten Rachel McAdams back, even though she's like a side character.
Well, once again, I still don't think I would feel that bad.
I have no connection.
What about, I was just saying, she's coming back and now she's going to have...
probably somebody from Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe, honestly.
I was thinking that.
I was just saying, who's a side character in Guardians of the Galaxy? Because they're all like sort of main characters in their own right.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like,
what's your name? Would you feel some type of way if they killed off Natalie Portman's character?
No.
Somewhat.
What about Pepper? I think Pepper probably.
Yeah. Because she's kind of holding the Stark name, really.
That's true.
Kind of.
What about Clint's wife?
No, we're not.
I would say if you saw Hawkeye, I feel like you might
maybe.
I actually started watching it and I actually like it so far. Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, like it's actually surprisingly like it's not like WandaVision, it's not earth shattering, it's not like this great TV show or anything, but in terms of like just being enjoyable and watching it, it's an enjoyable show. Like
yeah, I think I'm about 3 episodes in. It's actually enjoyable.
Yeah, I started the first episode, I just didn't finish. So.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
But I did start watching What If. That's great.
I did. It's on Disney Plus.
That's right.
I skip around. I skipped around on episodes. Just obviously, well,
did you watch episode 4
with a Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I think that's the best.
Yeah, that's the best one. Yeah,
and I think it actually has implications to Doctor Strange.
Multiverse of Madness. I was going to ask you, how did you guys feel about the post-credit scenes before we wrap up Spider-Man No Way Home?
With Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
I was very excited. Because at the end of Venom, Let There Be Carnage, the most exciting part to me was the reference to Spider-Man at the end credits. So I was waiting the entire movie, waiting for Venom to pop up. And I'm just like, bruh, where did he go? And then he popped in to drop off a little bit of his like alien stuff. And then I was just like, all right, well, at least we know what's going to happen next.
Okay. I think it's sort of... sort of sets the rest, the fact that we're probably not going to get a Tom Hardy. See, because the way that they made a scene by that post-credit scene is that Tom Hardy's Venom just came to the MCU to drop off some of the symbiote and then go back to his own universe.
Exactly.
Which is the way that the post-credit scene made it seem. So that's why I think they're almost like retconning like some of the stuff that came previously, because some of the Vulture actually
don't they
appears.
Need to?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of Venom at all, one or two. So I could just do without him. The Venom movies, but
well, I definitely say if they introducing Venom into this character, I'm curious to know if they'll call him Venom, but I'm also curious to know what actor they'll put in this character role.
I don't think it'll be a character that's portraying him. I think it'll be the symbiote taking over Spider-Man as like sort of like what they did in Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
And that's when he's going to get the black suit and he's probably going to have to fight or whatever, you know, overcome or whatever. So I think you'll see that. And then you have the other post-credit scene, which was surprising because it was actually a full-length trailer to the new Doctor Strange movie and Multiverse of Madness. How do we feel about that? I feel I'm more excited about it having seen What If. Because going to borrow some elements from that episode.
I didn't see it. Wait, there was another.
I didn't stay for the post credits. I just looked it up later and was like, okay, what was the mid credit? What was the post credit?
Oh, I didn't see.
After
I
two times, I'm not gonna stay for that.
Yeah.
Okay, I definitely.
But good trailer. Definitely more anticipated for it. I mean, it's
yeah. I can't wait to get weird with this because I think it's gonna be weird and trippy and. I can't wait. And now we're going to get Wanda and Doctor Strange together. And
and that's going to be.
I'm excited.
I'm just very interested with all the stuff happening with Wanda. Very highly interested.
Yeah, like, I think it's very possible that Wanda is going to could potentially be the next, like after Kang, that she could be the next villain.
Listen, man, I'm not letting go of this Mephisto thing. They still keep dropping these references to Mephisto, man. I don't know, man.
You think Mephisto is a villain of Doctor Strange too?
No. Okay. But I think he's going to be the big bad. I still think he's going to be the big bad. There's just too many references for this to be a coincidence.
I know.
Come on. Yeah.
All right, anything else on Spider-Man No Way Home before we move on to our next topic?
Just watch it, and after you watch it again.
Yeah, I am probably going to watch it again. Like, it has that enough enjoyment for me to rewatch it again.
I'm not going to see it with anybody. I think I'm just going to – I might do that as, like, a New Year's thing for myself. I might take myself to the movies and just go see that and sing, too, and –
Sing 2, okay.
I've heard good things about Sing 2.
I'm sure there's better things about The Matrix.
We'll get there.
I didn't even watch it, honestly.
But. Okay, all right. okay, so next topic here. I don't know, Tamika, did you get through or get a chance to watch Insecure?
I did, yes.
Okay, awesome, great. This is great because usually one of us has not seen something, so we can't always talk about it in full detail.
Yeah.
But this is great now knowing that you've gotten through the final season of Insecure. But we'll start with Danny, because Danny was actually the first person in the group chat to bring it up. We exchanged messages, so I sort of know how you feel and you know how I feel about it. But sort of explain to everyone what your thoughts were at watching this series finale of Insecure. Was it overwhelming, underwhelming? Was it just right, what you expected?
I would definitely say it was underwhelming, but it wasn't that they ended things uncompletely. I think like they ended things completely. Like every character, for the most part, got closure. It's just the way that it happened. And I you know, you alluded to this in the text, like this, like the way this last episode ended, this should have been throughout the whole season. Throughout the whole season, we should have been building up to Molly and whatever. I forget
his name too.
Like, we should have been building up to that wedding. We should have been building up to Issa and Lawrence. And that's what pisses me off the most is that they shoehorned them
the entire
in the beginning of the freaking episode. I was really let down by that. Like, I don't want to say I was let down by the series and it's like in the series, definitely not, but this episode for me, it it was lackluster for sure, but not because of not having closure. It was just the way that it happened.
Right. Like, I agree with you. I think because now looking back at the season, it's like I'm somewhat disappointed in the season because
like you could have had all those beats throughout the whole season.
Yeah, throughout the whole season. Because now I'm looking back at like episode 3, like, or like some of these other episodes where like sometimes like nothing happens. And it's fun like hanging out with these characters. I mean, I love all of them. But like there should have been more development, I feel like, throughout these episodes, as you alluded to, as to Molly eventually getting married. But that sort of came out of nowhere, right? Issa and Lawrence getting together.
Yeah,
they kept, literally should.
Sorry, not
they
to
literally
off,
should. Not, oh, go ahead.
They kept doing these time lapses.
Yeah. Remember, I put in a text like, "You get a happy birthday. You get a happy birthday." Like, because they wanted to speed. It's like they wanted to speed it up. Like they wanted the season finale.
Like this reminded me of Game of Thrones. Like I was like, "Dude, enough with the time jumping right now. Like you're pissing me off. You're reminding me of bad things." I was getting pissed.
I'm traumatized.
Like, once or twice is fine, but they kept doing it. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And it was crazy because I think if you look through the season, I think Issa and Lawrence only have like a couple of scenes with each other.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like where did this buildup happen to them getting back together? Like he literally just shows up at a party and says, "I want to be with you." Gets into a fight, and then literally next episode, they're getting back together. Yeah. And I felt like one of the disappointing things about the show, and I'm not, this isn't like bragging on Insecure, because I love the show. I think it has a lot of rewatchability, and I think what Issa did was absolutely amazing. But I think like one of the things about the show that it set up in previous seasons was how real life these things actually work and operate. Like, typically, in real life, you would not see Issa and Lawrence get back together. And that's what the show sort of, like, set up.
Yeah.
Like it made everything, like, have a happy ending, whereas what the show had done in previous seasons, it showed these characters, like, going off and doing their own thing and breaking away and breaking up with people, and you never see them ever again on the show. So I was really surprised that they did a happy ending for this show, considering what they had previously set up in other seasons. But they really did try and tie it up nice and neatly for everyone. It really, to me, it really had a very Disney-fied happy ending. And that's what I didn't like about it. But anyways, Tamika, you saw it. How did you feel? Are we going to go 3 for 3 or are you going to be there?
I definitely, once I saw the episode, I definitely understood what you were saying. Like, you get a happy ending, you get a happy ending. I definitely understood what you were saying. And I agree with, I think, Danny's point that everything that happened at the end just kind of seemed thrown in there. It's like, all right, well, it's the last episode, so let's just do this. And it's like, it's not that the season was bad, but this is what you should have been leaning towards the entire time. I guess they didn't want to make it predictable, or I don't know. The only thing that I can say that I could have foreseen was Molly's ending, which I actually really liked because I thought they made a beautiful couple.
It should have just been, that should have been a bigger moment than it was. Molly getting married should have been a bigger moment.
It really should have been because considering what, and I think out of all the characters, to me, she had like the best story arc from season to season to season. Yeah.
And she had a major character, like, it's just like what I like about the show is that they're very, I do think it's a reflective of real life and real change. Mm-hmm. Because once the season ended, I actually went back to season one and started watching it again. And watching Molly from who she was in season one, it's like a complete turnaround. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, you really changed. And I think for me, it's reflective because it's just like, I'm not the same person that I was in college. So it's like that 10-year gap. It's not 10 years in the show, but for me, that 10 years is like the person who I was 10 years ago is going to be, it's a complete turnaround. I'm not that person anymore. So I just think she had so much character development over the five seasons of the show. And that goes for everyone for the most part. But and even in the case of Lawrence and Issa, this is where I'm going to disagree with you guys, is that I don't see anything wrong with them getting back together. I think it was a matter of wrong timing. And even though you do see in real life people break up and they never see each other again, you also see in real life people who break up and then 10 years later they get back together because that's who they felt like they were always supposed to be with. I think you can see it both ways. And I think with watching Issa and Lawrence, same thing with Molly. It's like you see a complete, they're almost like completely different people. And they needed that time apart to try new things, to date other people, to grow into themselves, to get more secure in themselves. That's the whole point of being insecure. They were both very insecure in the beginning of season one. Lawrence insecure about what he wants to do, how he's going to do it, if anybody's going to listen. Issa insecure about what she's doing, is anybody going to listen? And they needed to be apart to grow into themselves in order for them and just become whole within themselves to come back together and create one whole piece together. So I didn't see anything wrong with the way they ended that. I liked the fact that Kelly had a baby and got pregnant. I liked, you know, Tiffany moving to a new, you know, place. Like, as you get older, friends move. So I do think it was very rushed. It felt very rushed in the final episode. I'm like, you built up this entire season between Nathan and Issa, and then you like didn't do anything with it in the last episode.
Yeah.
But that's all I say. So, I say it was rushed, but so otherwise, I think it's fine.
So my thing with Issa and Lawrence getting back together, there was like several things that I don't think they really addressed. And I don't have a serious thing. Like, yes, what you're saying is right. People do go off and for 10 years and they don't see each other or whatever, and they get back together at the end. But we see that in like a lot of movies, and it's the same. It's the happy ending. But I was saying this show, the way that they were setting it up was like, that's not how they were going to do it. So that's why I was saying that it seemed like they sort of deviated from what they had set up in previous seasons. Because they never addressed how Issa felt about raising a child or having a stepson. We never saw that. We never saw Issa interact with Condola and how they were going to manage this whole situation. They just played up the awkward moments with her
and Condola. Like, they didn't actually have a conversation besides in the last episode, but it was very quick.
But it was awkward and brief.
Yeah.
And I think at times, which again, I love the show, but I do think at times they played up the comedy at an expense of character development, where they could have used like some of the stuff that they, where they have comedic moments at, or they try to tell a joke. I feel like if you replace some of that stuff with like actual dramatic scenes that develop these characters more, I feel like that would have been a better utilization of time, considering that you only have a half hour like with the show. I think if you had an hour, like how most shows on HBO do it, I think you could do all that stuff. But because you only have a half hour and you're trying to do a final season, you really can't be having like throwaway episodes, which I think that some episodes of the season were. Even though you enjoy them because you enjoy the characters so much.
Like the episode that was focused on Lawrence and Condola, that was a great episode.
Yeah, that was a great
episode. But looking back on it now, it really was like a throwaway episode, even though we learned more about those characters, specifically Condola.
Yeah, I did think for a moment and maybe that was kind of the point of the season, is to throw you off. I thought at some point that even Lawrence and Condola were going to try to make it work for the, you know, and figure it out. But then that didn't happen.
Going back to like Issa for a second, for me, for her character arc, for me, it's completed when she's not with anybody and she finally focuses on her career.
I completely agree with you, Danny, because I thought that made the most sense. Yeah. It's for her not to end up with anybody and to sort of go off into the sunset looking forward, but she still has all these great things and endless possibilities, you know. So I felt like it was sort of anticlimactic that she ended up back.
It really was, yo. Once again, we love the show. We love the show. It's just like this final episode had.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Issues for sure.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It definitely didn't feel like the final episode. I could have never predicted that that's how they were going to end the show, just because the whole season, it was almost like it was just another season. Like it didn't feel like a finale the entire time.
Right. And that's what I was saying going back. Now seeing the finale of the show, it makes me like think about the previous episodes that we got during this whole season, where I was like, it's great hanging out with you guys, but I love Kelly. Like, she's one of my favorite characters. She said she's so great at comedic relief, but I do think they spend a lot of time just on nothing. Like, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, that whole episode when they're at the beach.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's yeah. just kind of like, it was great hanging out with you guys, but what really what happened?
Progress happened when exactly.
Yeah. You know, or when they're all like hanging out and, they're smoking like weed and stuff, you know, with the, you know, 100 girls. I'm like, okay, but we're really happy, like where I know more information, like yeah. that, you know, that's what I was talking about. Yeah. So again, love hanging out with these characters. I want more, honestly, but obviously we know that it can't go on forever. Obviously, Issa has other things that she wants to do.
I mean, I think, yeah, but it's only been 5 seasons. It's not like it's been like 10. Seasons.
Yeah.
I think five seasons is perfect. It's just like.
I do think 5 seasons. Do you think that she will ever return back to maybe like 5 or like 10 years later to catch up
they're probably doing
with some
movie.
Of these characters?
They're probably definitely doing a movie for sure.
I can see them maybe do like an HBO Max movie. I don't know how much. I don't know how many people would actually go see an Insecure movie in theaters.
No, I think it's just like Max original film.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't even know about a movie. I think there's a potential for everything. I think with most shows, it's like, oh, it's over, and then 10 years later, it's like we're coming back, or 20 years later, even. So
yeah,
I think
like
there's
Matrix.
Potential.
Since
you brought it up.
I know. But anyways, before we get to Matrix, last things we want to say about Insecure, since this is the last time we're really probably ever gonna talk about it.
I'm rewatching the entire season. I mean seasons. I'm rewatching all 5 seasons. I'm actually in season 2 currently. I mean, it's not like they're long episodes. You could really probably
No, they're only a half hour.
Right. So it's not like it takes me a long time to watch 8 episodes.
Yeah.
But it's more of a background playing. Like, I have it playing in the background while I cook, clean, answer emails.
I mean, as a whole, I think the series is great.
It's
like the way they portrayed these relationships and how real they were. I don't think that's people are going to ever forget that. It really was like the most real show that HBO has ever had. It's a shame how it ended a little bit, but it doesn't take away from 5 seasons of getting to know these characters and their journey.
It's very rare that you get a show like this, or even a movie, where you're like, I'm going through the exact same thing.
Right.
Like, this show is about my life, and regardless of like it, you know, whether it's male or female or whatever, everyone can relate to this show. And I think it's even more so that if you're black or if you're a minority, like, this show really hits for you because you're seeing characters that look like you on screen going through the same exact things that you're going through at the exact same stage of their life that you're going through these things. And for that, you just can't forget. And the show is so well made. It's so well written, and the jokes and the characters and honestly the cinematography.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, the cinematography.
Yeah,
the
cinematography
is
great.
Absolutely great. like when they do framing, like they do this like awkward framing and it fits. Mm-hmm. Like when Lawrence is in a tight spot, they have him like to the left with no looking room at all. Like it is just great, and even the lighting and like.
Yeah, I would say even the lighting. And
I don't know if this is weird to say, but Issa Rae has the most perfect skin on screen that I think I've ever seen in my life.
It's freaking beautiful.
Like, that's crazy. You got to give it up
for yeah that. Yeah, no, I mean, it is. I mean, she's a beautiful woman. Like, all everyone on the show is beautiful that they cast. And it's like, again, like I say, it's so refreshing to see like minorities like have a show like this and talk about like the things that we're dealing with. And because, you know, for so long, you know, we didn't, I mean, not to take a shot at this man, but we only had Tyler Perry.
I
was
gonna say that. I get it.
That's the truth,
really
though.
It's the truth.
We only had Tyler Perry movies, and that was the only time we really saw ourselves on screen for a while. And now that we're getting people like Issa Rae and Ryan Coogler and Jordan Peele and Nia DaCosta and Lena Waithe, and the list keeps going on and on and on, and they're doing such a phenomenal job of representing us. And it is cool because, you know, I remember my mom watches the show, and I just was like, yeah, this is real life. Like, this is how it really is in terms of like relationships, in terms of like work, like how we're dealing and how we're navigating like the space in like 2021 and 2020 or wherever it was. So yeah, I will be forever grateful for this show. And it's also inspiration for me, you know, as a filmmaker as well, because if you go back and you watch the original Awkward Black Girl show, like that was some guerrilla filmmaking that they were doing back then, really, boy. And they were piecemealing that thing together, you know what I mean?
But I remember watching it in college. I remember my roommate used to watch it, and I started watching it. And then when I saw it, when my mom was like, oh, there's this show called Insecure, I was like, oh my god, I totally know her. Like, of course I didn't know her, but
But it's so cool to see where she was at that point, to see where she has come and see how much she has grown as a creator. But she's always been uber talented, and you can't take that away from her and what she has been able to accomplish.
Can we just talk about the fact that Amanda Seals is 40 years old? I didn't realize she was. She doesn't.
Hey man, it's that skin, man. It's that melanin, man.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think 40 is supposed to look like anything necessarily, but it's
But the fact that you wouldn't think that she's 40.
No, you know what I mean? No, I wouldn't.
When you look
at
her, you would say she's like around our age, like early 30s, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's great. Like, even the woman that plays Kelly, like, she's now starting to get more roles and things, you know?
I love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Great. Now on to some less than thrilling stuff that we watched, unfortunately. Me and Tamika had the distinct and unique pleasure of sitting down and watching Matrix Resurrection.
I'm so glad I didn't waste my time yet.
Listen, this is what I will say. It is better than
Revolutions.
It is better than Revolutions, yes.
That's not saying
that. It's not better than Reloaded. Yeah, it's probably not saying that. But I will also say it's better than what I would expect it, to be honest with you. It's not a terrible movie. I think it's the worst place to be, honestly. You can either be a bad movie or you can be a good movie. The worst place you can be is a mediocre movie, because then people will forget about it. Like, it's like a throwaway thing. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a bad movie, you can be historically bad, and like, people will make fun of it and joke on it or whatever. But people are going to remember that bad movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But like, Matrix Resurrection is a mediocre film, and unfortunately, it's very forgettable. It is a very forgettable movie. It's fun seeing mostly everyone return. Obviously, we know Lawrence Fishburne isn't back, and Hugo Weaving isn't back. And they do try to explain it. And I will say that's another thing about this movie. It can get confusing at times.
Just like every other film franchise.
Yeah, when they try to explain like what's going on. Because you can miss a lot of things in this movie. And I don't think this movie is 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you can go into spoilers. I don't care. So you can spoil.
Well, no, I mean, like, I don't think there's really anything to spoil about this movie.
Well, that's sad.
Not really. It was basically a compilation of scenes from all the previous movies to talk about what happened. And then you get a short, brief introduction to new characters, because essentially this movie was a prequel to what feels like is going to be a new generation of Matrix movies.
And you know what the crazy thing is that you say that is that they don't have any plans to make a sequel of this movie.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, because it's basically about, I want to say they rehashed a lot from the first Matrix movie.
They did.
And the fact that we're struggling to tell you exactly what this movie is about is like telling you something, because it is a confusing movie. I will say this, the fact that Neo, again, I don't even necessarily like the way that they came back, because essentially the machines bring him and Trinity back to life, and they realize that they need each other for the Matrix to work, but they need each other to not get too close to each other, but to be just far enough apart from each other for the Matrix to work. And Neo is like the events of the first three Matrix movies, Neo has now made a video game out of, and he works for Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers wants him to make a sequel to these video games. And then from there, yeah, I know,
That
it's
sounds
so on the
freaking
nose.
stupid.
Yeah, it's so on the nose.
It wasn't that it was stupid. It wasn't a terrible movie, but
That sounds like some Space Jam New Legacy shit.
It wasn't
No, but
that
I'm saying
bad.
that part that, Space Jam, yeah, that's a different level of bad. But I'm saying that part of the movie was so on the nose, because if you know the background story, that HBO or Warner Brothers, they were going to make this movie regardless of if Lana Wachowski was a part of it or not. And so that was like sort of like on the nose reference to her having to make this movie, because Warner Brothers was going to make it regardless. So that's what that sort of part of the movie was. But it's just like so on the nose. But there's some other things about it. I mean, I thought the action scenes were well done. I thought the opening sequence was good. I mean, but there's no real characters that you get attached to. I mean, Neo. Hey, it's about Neo and Trinity, and Neo getting reawoken and now trying to get Trinity out of the Matrix. That's basically, I guess, that's kind of really what the movie's about.
Sounds exhilarating.
It really did feel it's interesting that you say they don't have any plans to make other movies, because that's really what it felt like. They were trying to introduce new characters and get people attached to these new characters to move away from Neo and Trinity and the characters that grew us attached to the Matrix series in the first place. So it's really interesting you say that, because it felt like a buildup, like even the way it ended felt like a build up to something. It wasn't a final ending. Like, it was just like, we'll see what happens. So anyway, some of my personal gripes with the movie. Neil Patrick Harris, I actually really enjoy him personally. I like him
No, I like him. I like him too. As a Broadway fan,
as an entertainer.
I thoroughly enjoy Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes. However, that being said, I don't know whose idea it was to hire him for this character. There were several times, it's not that he did a terrible job, but there were several moments where it was kind of like ludicrous. And I was just
He
like,
sounds miscast as hell to
it,
me,
it's
so.
very miscast. And I'm like, whose idea? And it's not even that he's a bad actor. He's actually a very good actor. But it almost seemed comedic. And I don't know if he was purposely trying to do that, but even when he was being serious and like monologuing, I'm just like, I can't even take you serious, dude. Like, you just don't feel like you fit this part. That was my own personal gripe, because I just love him so much, and I just feel like just wasn't a good character for him, I don't think. But he didn't do terrible. This wasn't great, but
Yeah, another person that is in this movie that I didn't know was in this movie until a couple of days before I saw it was Jada Pinkett Smith.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Oh, yeah. How did you feel about her character in the movie?
I mean, I didn't really feel anything. It made me laugh when she came on screen. I was like, "Is that
No, it didn't,
Jada?"
because she has all this prosthetic makeup on, when you see her, because she's supposed to be, older now. Yeah, I feel like, it made sense for her character to be in the movie. So yeah, it was cool. Honestly, the best scene in the movie I thought was when they were trying to get Trinity, when they were trying to unplug Trinity, straight from the machine world, I guess, where they have everyone in the tanks. Like, instead of her taking the red pill, they go right there and try to unplug her. And I thought that scene was great. To me, I wish there was more scenes like that, where it's just like high stakes action. And they do some interesting things now where they can, you know, grow strawberries and things like that. Like, there's some interesting concepts. Yeah. There's some interesting concepts now that they're able to do. But yeah, ultimately it didn't. But we all knew that, I guess, from the beginning that this movie wasn't going to be that great. So
I knew it.
Well, you had hope. You had hope for it.
I did. I had a little bit of hope because you had the original. You had everyone outside of Lawrence and Hugo returning back, and you had one of the Wachowski sisters coming on, writing it and directing it. Even though that they haven't done anything great of late. But I felt like maybe returning back to what they started out originally, I thought maybe would be a good thing. Unfortunately, it didn't work for me. But yeah, I know it worked for some people, but it wasn't great for me, anyways.
Yeah.
Don't
pay for it. Just.
Well, yeah. If you have HBO Max, you're already paying for it.
So right, you might but watch. If you don't have HBO Max, don't go to the movies. Just wait.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
So 2020. So 2022 is pretty much upon us. In the next 2 hours, it'll be New Year's Eve. So with that said, it's great to look ahead at the movies in 2022 that we're probably going to be watching and reviewing. So I'm going to throw out some movies for you guys, and you're going to just briefly tell me what you feel when I say these. These are the most anticipated movies, according to BuzzFeed. So this isn't every movie that's coming out in 2022, but these are the like most anticipated movies. All right, we're gonna start with the Batman.
Yeah, looking forward.
Should we rank it like from a 1 to 5 or something in terms of
anticipation? Yeah, rank it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you gotta put out more than
1 to 5 on a scale of 1 to 5.
On a scale of 1 to 5, I would say 4.5. I think the trailers are awesome so far.
Yeah, especially the latest trailer with the Batman and Catwoman. Yeah. I thought that was a great trailer. It definitely was.
What were you going to say to me?
No, I was just going to give it a 3 for me personally.
A 3?
So, I was going to say a 3. It's like a 3.
What are you talking? Why is it so average for
That's
you?
That's my opinion.
I just want to know why it's so average for you.
I just don't care. I'm going to watch it. I just don't have any feelings for it. Like, the Batman movies have just been like up and down and all around. And I think Robert Pattinson could do the character well. I'm still a little iffy even after seeing the trailer.
I will agree with you, Matt. I still can't get my head around that Robert Pattinson as the new Batman.
Right.
But the trailers, though, the trailers look amazing. The way that it's shot, the action sequences, the acting from everyone in there. They have an A-list cast.
Like I said,
you got one of the best directors behind the camera doing it.
I'm going to stick to I'd give it a 3.5 at best for myself, for me.
I'm going to be with Danny. I'm going to say a 4.5 only because of Robert Pattinson. I still can't see him yet. Scream.
You know what? The last Scream was a Scream 4. I actually didn't mind it. I thought it was okay.
I didn't mind it either. You had some Hayden Panettiere in there.
Yeah, I love Hayden.
I love her too.
But the trailers have done nothing for me for this one, for sure.
Yeah. I haven't seen the trailer yet, so I can't speak on how it looks. But just hearing Scream, I'm just like, oh, do we really need another like remake?
We don't need it. We don't need it. But if they're making one, if it's anything like the last one, I can get it.
It was like mindless fun. Like I can get behind it.
Yeah.
I don't as long as they don't try to mess up this, like try to complicate the story in some weird fugazi way.
Yeah, like like Scream 4 came out so long ago.
Yeah, it came like 2011.
I don't think I've seen it since then. Like I don't remember it really.
I think I've seen it twice.
I've seen it a couple times, to be honest. Maybe I like it more than I think I like it.
Yeah. What about Thor Love and Thunder?
A solid 4. I've grown to love the Thor movies.
I'd give it a 4 in anticipation.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat with but the 4. I mean, the last Thor I thought was the best.
The best Thor for sure.
Yeah, the best Thor that we ever got. I love Taika Waititi's take on the character. Yeah. And Thor has slowly become one of my favorite characters in the MCU.
Yeah.
With how they've been able to change him from the first Thor to the throwaway that was Dark World, where we thought the character was dead in the water, to now seeing where he is now. I love the new
character. I think I like Dark World more than you guys do. Because I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think, you know, every time I see it, the less and less I like it. When I first saw it, I was like, yeah, this is a good movie. And then I saw it again. I was like, nah.
It's not.
And then I saw it again it's not. And now we're going to get Natalie Portman as Jane Foster returning, but she is going to be the female Thor of that. So it's going to be interesting. And Christian Bale is in a movie. So,
yeah, that puts it up there.
That'll be interesting. Is there a trailer for that?
No, there's no trailer.
Okay.
What about Top Gun Maverick?
Is Tom Cruise in it?
Yeah.
No.
It's a 2 for me.
That's about a 2. Like a 2, I guess.
I'm at like a 3. I'm like a 3 with that one.
I really dislike Tom Cruise. I don't know why.
What is wrong with Tom Cruise?
I don't know. He just rubs me the wrong way.
Is it the Scientology?
Yeah, that might be, honestly. It's just, but something about his aura just rubs me the wrong way, too. I don't know what it is, man.
I don't mind Tom Cruise, but how you feel about Tom Cruise, how I feel about Jamie Foxx. So I can't argue with you.
I think that's two different.
It's
so different.
It's not different. That's how you feel. That's how I feel. I mean, whatever.
No, but your reasons for disliking the murder.
You don't even know my reasons. And I never said I didn't like him. He just rubbed Django me was the wrong way.
You said Django.
I didn't say it was the main reason. I said it started with Django. I never said it was the main reason.
Then what happened after Django?
We're not talking about it this episode.
I feel like you just can't just drop like an Easter egg and then like not hatch.
That's my opinion.
I need to know why.
I'm gonna have to put my points together.
Okay.
And
next episode,
so I can be prepared.
Make that a topic of discussion, Tyron. Make it a topic.
Yeah.
Well, so that way we have to talk about it.
All right. Jurassic World Dominion.
God.
I'm gonna watch it, but I maybe a 3.
That's probably like a 2. I probably put a 2 on it.
I'm at a 3.5.
I haven't liked any of the new Jurassic Worlds.
No, neither. I mean, I like the first Jurassic World. The second
I like
one,
the first one.
When they turned it into a haunted mansion.
I don't even remember the second one.
Yeah. It didn't.
They just do nothing for me. I think Jurassic Park 3 was better than Jurassic World, to be honest with you.
Really?
Maybe that's a stretch.
Jurassic World is better. Yeah.
I like Chris Pratt, but it does nothing for me.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like now there's only so much you can do with Jurassic Park, the franchise, right? Because there's only so many times you can get dropped off an island and have to survive dinosaurs, right? Like, you're going to need something else to make it interesting. And, like, they're trying to do that. And it's not working. But these movies are raking in money.
Yeah,
they are.
Like, they're making over $1 billion with these Jurassic World movies.
On, like, a $200 million budget.
Yeah. So, a movie that we briefly already talked about, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, 5. All the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you went a five for this, but you didn't go like for a five with Batman.
Just because I had the same doubts about Ryan Pattinson, even though I think he's tremendous. He's a tremendous actor, though, so I have faith. But this is a five for sure. It's definitely, I think it's my number one most anticipated movie for me. Because it's just going to have mad implications, you can tell, going through this phase. Yeah, so that's a five. And like I said, Wanda does it for me, so.
I'll give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm also at the 4.5. Also at a 4.5. I know what Danny is going to say about this now, having heard how he feels about Tom Cruise. but I enjoy this franchise. Every movie, it gets better and better. And Mission Impossible.
Yeah. I'm slightly more, as I agree, like the Mission Impossible movies are, you know, they're mindless fun. Once again, it's mindless fun.
They're mindless fun, but they do it so well. Like in my opinion, they've surpassed the James Bond movies in terms of, like, if you said I could watch James Bond or the Mission Impossible movies, I would pick the Mission Impossible movies.
Well, the last one I saw was Ghost Protocol. So did they come out with another one since?
Yeah, they came out with like three other.
Are you serious? That's the last one I saw.
So I'm saying, like, every single one of them, they got better and better and better in terms of like their story and the states, and I have grown to really, like I said, every movie of this franchise continues to get better for me.
I probably give it like a 2.5. I haven't seen anything. Like, I don't know if there's a teaser trailer or anything for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Once I see the trailer, yeah, I probably have a higher number for it, but that's like,
I'm going to give it a 2 as well. I'm probably not going to watch it, but not because they're bad. It's just because I haven't watched the Mission Impossible movies probably since like the third one. So,
listen, I gotta say, I'm more invested in there. So I'm at like a 4 with these movies, just because they're so well made and so well done. If you have time to sit down and actually watch the latest Mission Impossible movie that came out, I'm telling you, Tamika, you will enjoy the movie.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you will enjoy
it. We might have to have like a day. Like, we really should try and plan like a day or a weekend or something where we can all just get together and watch movies. That's probably not realistic, but.
No, it's realistic. I mean, it's more realistic. It has to be for you because, you know, your schedule, you know, and you live in Virginia.
I will have to talk about it.
All right. Uncharted.
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
That's like a 4 for me. Yeah.
What is it?
The trailer looked really, really good.
And the trailer was great. And Tom Holland is in it. Yeah, the trailer looked.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Wahlberg is also in it if you like him.
If Mark Wahlberg's in it, I mean,
if you play the games and stuff, you have some familiarity with it. I think that's.
I don't know what it is. Uncharted. I don't know what this is.
It's a video.
It's going to be a video game series. This may actually be the first video game movie that
might be good.
Actually, is good.
Yeah.
Jumanji was good, but I guess that's not really a
video game movie.
Okay, I figured it out. Thank you.
Jumanji.
Oh, you know what? I lied. I did see the trailer for this, and I was like, "Oh, I think
it
should have
been
that.
Like one of the first ones from Spider-Man: No Way Home."
I don't remember seeing it there. I don't. You're probably right. This I saw it somewhere. Cool.
All right. So Uncharted. I'm at a 4. Danny. I mean, Tamika. What are you at?
I'll give it a 4, I guess.
If you see the trailer, you'll probably have some.
I gotta say, yeah, the trailer really did it for me. Next up, The Flash.
I want to say 4. Flash is he's been a consistent character throughout the DC universe.
A 3.
I think I'm more with Tamika at a 3.
Let me say 3.5. Like, I gave it too much
credit. Yeah. I mean, though I will say this. The Zack Snyder Justice League made me enjoy the character more.
My main thought.
And but unfortunately, Zack Snyder isn't directing this movie. But we do get Danny's favorite Batman character back, played by Ben Affleck. So he's back in a movie.
Why? Okay, that's just fuck. Okay, now it's like a two now.
I think this is gonna be the last.
How did it go from a 3.5 to a 2? Because it doesn't make,
like, you already have a new Batman coming out. You can't just have him. It's just
this is. I think this is gonna be the last version of a Ben Affleck.
What are they doing? What are they doing over there, Tyrone?
Because they're doing Flashpoint.
What are they doing?
All the Batmans.
What is their plan?
I don't know. I don't know, but we're gonna get Michael Keaton's Batman in there too. So does that bring it up anymore?
I'm out of here, man. I feel like that doesn't make sense, but
and Ben Affleck. Like I said, they're doing Flashpoint.
So they're just basically doing like the Spider-Man thing,
like a back in time. Yeah, they're sort of doing like with Spider-Man. Yeah,
it does not change my rating.
No, now it's definitely like a two now for sure.
Okay, all right. Now we're gonna head over. Also, what about Nope, the Jordan Peele movie with Kiki Palmer and
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it. I don't care for. I give it a 3.5.
I'm right there. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, I'd say 3.5 is great. I feel like it would be higher if Us wasn't
right.
I mean, it's not bad, but it just...
I think I like Us more than you do, for sure.
I liked Us.
I like Us a lot. I know you have your problems with it, but I liked it.
Yeah, I do. It has more to do with the plot. Yeah. And it has more to do with the actual premise of the movie, I guess. But anyways, yeah, 3.5 for me on Nope. Now we're going to head over to some TV shows.
Wait, Black Panther? Can we talk about Black Panther?
Oh, yeah, Black Panther is also coming out 2022, my bad.
That's a 5.
I know they're filming the movie now. I have no idea. The thing is, I have no idea who the villain is going to be of this.
Yeah,
of this
I have movie. No idea either.
Or who's going to be. There's so many questions surrounding this Black Panther production. I can't wait to like see it sort of come together and see what they do ultimately. My bet is still on Shuri as the next Black Panther.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I'm going to have to give it a 4.5 because it's something that I'm really anticipating and looking forward to, but I don't even know, 4 or 4.5, maybe closer to a 4, only because I don't know. I have mixed emotions.
Yeah. I'm at a 4.5 on Black Panther.
And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Wait,
I'm at like
that's a 5 for me.
Yeah, I'm at a 5.
5. Definitely a 5.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you can move on.
Any other movies that I skipped over?
I think you hit the big ones. I think Avatar 2, right?
Yeah, Avatar 2.
That's like a freaking one. Trash.
That's a 1. That's a 1 for sure. You know,
That is also 1 for me too. It's sort of crazy because this is one of the few movies I'm assuming we're all going to agree on. When that movie came out and that movie got all that hype, I did not see it. I was like, this is an average movie.
It really is, dude.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks amazing and the technology behind it is great, but this was Fern Gully.
It was Fern Gully mixed with a little bit of Disney's Pocahontas.
Exactly.
With Titanic. Like, it was just like, they just made it in the space. I still enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the movie when it came out.
Really?
I did. I enjoyed it. I knew what it was when I saw it. Like, I was like, this is Fern Gully. This is Pocahontas. Like, I knew exactly what it was when I saw it, but I still enjoyed it.
And I said Fern Gully was better. I still enjoyed Fern Gully.
Honestly, yeah.
I still enjoyed it for what it was very much when it came out because I enjoyed the... I looked at a lot of the background stuff as we normally do. And I really enjoyed how they did it, where they got the inspiration was from. I thought the cast was excellent. Zoe Saldana gives me, I feel I'm iffy about her, but either way, she was fine. But the reason I give this one a 1 is because it's been like 20 years, bro. Like,
it's been like 20 years, bro.
It's been like 10 or 11.
I don't care anymore.
It's been like 12 years. Has it been like 12 years? Yeah. Like 12 years. No, like 14. 14, sorry.
It's been too long. I don't care anymore.
I don't know. It's just, I, you know, you didn't hook me with the first one. You're definitely not going to hook me with this.
I was going to say, you didn't hook me with the first one. I thought the movie was overhyped to begin with. And the fact that it's been out, the last movie came out in 2009. It's now 2021. And we're now just getting a sequel to this movie.
Right.
Apparently we're going, oh, but don't hold your breath though. Cause we're going to get a cluster of these sequel movies.
But that's what, for Avatar you're talking about?
Yeah, for Avatar. Yeah, they're like shooting them back to back.
They were talking about doing the sequel and then the third and then the fourth. They were supposed to be like four movies.
There's going
to
be like four or five movies.
And it doesn't make any sense because I'm like, first of all, you do realize people age, right? Like what are you, okay, I don't know.
Tamika, sorry. We got to talk about this movie that I forgot. The Secrets of Dumbledore, which I know is like a one for Danny, but.
For sure.
Don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
I gotta give it a 2.5.
I'm also around there. I'm at like a I'm at a 2.5.
It's unfortunate, but
yeah. All right, now moving into the TV shows, House of Dragon, which is Game of Thrones.
I'll probably put it at a 3. I think that's fair.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I gotta temper my expectations, right. You know.
Okay, yeah, they gotta earn your trust back. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Even though it's a new, these are new people. Like they're not, it's not D&D anymore.
Yeah, it's still a 3. I don't know. Okay. I don't know how these new writers are gonna do unless they have Brian Cogman back.
Yeah, I don't know if he's back.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3 too. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah, House of Dragon. I like the trailer that we did get. So Lord of the Rings.
I'm sorry, you said what?
Lord of the Rings
TV show?
Yeah, it's a TV show. It's coming on Amazon Prime.
I think I said, didn't we talk about this before? Briefly.
I know we talked about Lord of the Rings. I don't think we ever talked about the TV show. They spend a lot of money on this TV show.
I mean, I still gotta watch the movies. So. I mean, unless they're starting from ground one.
They are starting from ground one in the sense that this is set thousands of years before the actual Lord of the Rings takes place in The Hobbit. So it's essentially an original show with, you know, it's just named Lord of the Rings because it's taking place in that.
I see. In that realm. But. I see. Okay. When you say that. It says it's adapted from the Lord of the Rings. I don't know. I will say this on a tangent though. If they've coming out with a television series for Lord of the Rings, I feel like it's only a matter of time before we get something Harry Potter related. Only a matter of time.
Oh no, I said they're already working on the Harry Potter TV show.
Didn't know that. So there you go. Yeah.
I don't know if it's gonna be based on the actual books, but I know that they're working on it. I'm excited for this because I'm a fan of the original trilogy of movies. Now, obviously, Peter Jackson isn't directing any of these and has nothing to do with like Warner Brothers. And they spent so much money because they had to buy the rights to make this. They spent like $500 million just to get the rights to this source material. And then they soaked another $200 million into the production and budget of this show. So they spent a lot of money, obviously, because they know how big of a property this is. And just from looking at like the photos and everything, it looks amazing.
I'm
excited for it.
I like
so
the
I'm gonna
cast.
Go to a 4. Yeah. I'm going to go all the way up to a 4 with Lord of the Rings.
I don't know. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Danny will know this. The Last of Us.
Oh, man. I want to say 4, even though I haven't seen anything 4 yet. But the video games are great. Except, I mean, Last of Us 2 was not great. But this show...
Oh, you didn't like it?
It's okay. It's decent. It's not as bad as people say it is.
What is it called? Yeah.
The Last of Us.
The Last of
Us. But just like this whole, this is just made for TV. I think the whole concept is
made for TV.
So yeah. That's like a 4.
I hope they really take their time with the first video game, with the first Last of Us.
Yeah, I do too. Like that can last for a long time.
I was gonna say if they drag it over the course of 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be yeah, Tamika, I feel like if you hopped on YouTube and you just watched all the cutscenes, I feel like you would get something out of it.
Okay.
Because it's really good. It's a really good
show. All right, go check it out. Speaking of, I'm gonna go off on a tangent really quick. You guys didn't happen to watch there was another movie that came out recently that was based on a video game. What was it?
Sonic the Hedgehog?
No. The zombie one.
Oh, Resident Evil?
Yeah, that's the one. I don't know why I couldn't think of that name.
I had no interest in watching it.
They came out recently? What?
Yes, there was a new Resident Evil.
It came out like a couple weeks ago.
A movie.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Is it trash?
Yes.
Well, that's all I need to know.
You should have told me that you had plans on watching.
I totally forgot. I totally spaced. I just thought of it just now when I was looking at the pictures of The Last of Us, and I was thinking like, oh, it's another video game. And I was like, I just watched a movie about a video game. And I remember the zombies. It was definitely I think I'm more pissed that I paid to see the movie in theaters.
Yeah, I know.
Don't ever do that for a Resident Evil.
Like, it was
for
like
a Resident Evil movie?
It was something for the family. This was a while back because my mom and Asia were here. It was like a whole family thing.
So you guys went to go see Resident Evil as a family?
There was nothing else out. Like,
I can't remember.
I can't imagine seeing that. Right. Like, let's go check out that Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Well, my sister wanted to see it, and then Darius wanted to see it, and I was just like, okay, I guess we'll go see it.
They led you astray.
Darius was so mad in the theater. He was so mad. He was like, "This movie's trash."
God,
okay.
And I was like, but I was also like, What Resident Evil movie has ever been good? Like, maybe the first one?
That's what I said. I was
hard jump to make.
I
think it's the best one by default. Sure.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I didn't think it's the best one by default. All right, now we're going to run down through some Disney Plus shows because they got a nice little slate. Yeah. We got Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I'll probably watch it because Darius is going to watch it, so.
Oh, he's a Star Wars fan? I didn't know he was a Star Wars fan.
I still haven't seen the Mandalorian, or I haven't. I mean, about.
Yo, bro! The Mandalorian is a really good show, man.
The people, that's what they say, but I don't know. Star Wars has still left a bad taste in my mouth. But we'll probably. Like, did that Boba Fett come out yet, or is that coming out?
Yeah, it did.
It did.
I'm not a huge fan of the week to week shows. Unless it's like the MCU. I'd rather just watch it all in one sitting. She-Hulk.
Oh yeah, that's a four. That's a 4. I think they can make it great.
I'm excited to see what they do with She-Hulk, honestly.
But Tatiana Maslany, she's supposed to star in it, and if you've seen Orphan Black, I don't know if you guys seen that, but she's great in that, so that's kind of why I'm looking forward to it.
I don't really care much for the He-Hulk, so
I see what you did there.
Whatever,
you said He-Hulk and now this is She-Hulk.
Yes,
I see what you did with the pronouns.
Danny's face.
Moving on.
Anyway, I wasn't actually saying it to be funny. I just wanted to make
but
sure.
What were you trying?
I wanted to make sure it was clear that we knew which Hulk I was talking about. The point is, I'm not much of a Hulk fan, so I can't say that I'm looking forward to. I don't want to rate it because I don't think that would be fair. But I'm probably gonna watch it, maybe. But
I'm still stuck on the fact that you said He-Hulk.
Yeah,
and the fact that you said
trying to be funny. I really wasn't trying to be
that,
funny.
The fact that the Hulk doesn't have a pro that you didn't need to specify between the two. Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. But I am interested in seeing it. And one of my favorite Marvel characters is probably going to show up in the show. He showed up in Spider-Man No Way Home, and that is Charlie Cox as Daredevil.
So yeah, when he showed up in the movie,
we forgot to talk about that, man, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. And he showed up, and everybody was like, oh! Yeah. And I looked at Darius like, who is he? Why is everybody so excited? And he had to explain to me, it's like, he played the Daredevil. I'm like, oh, okay, got it. Didn't know he was MCU. Yeah.
I didn't think they was going to introduce him so early.
And then, again, like, going back to Spider-Man, like I said, some of the surprises in there, they come, like, you... Like, if you're a fan like we are, you sort of keep up to date with, like, the rumors and stuff that you knew that he could appear. But they do it in such a way where it's like, it kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you haven't seen the Daredevil on Netflix, it's still up there. Treat yourself. Don't wreck yourself. that's a good show, man.
Maybe I'll watch it.
You should. Miss Marvel.
Yeah, I give it a 4.
The Marvels, like the Captain Marvel, and I know they're coming out with the Marvels.
Yeah, it's gonna be called the Marvels. So I feel like this is gonna be an important show.
They don't do much for me. I'll probably put a 3 on it. But I'll give it a fair shot for sure.
Okay, I'm around the 3. Deviating to HBO Max here, Peacemaker from Suicide Squad.
Give it a 4. I think they can do a good job.
Really? I don't know. 3.
I wasn't that invested in the character when he was in the Suicide Squad.
I mean, wasn't much to invest in, but I mean, John Cena played it well. And
he did.
I mean,
it was probably his best actor.
I guess, like, I don't know how they're going to make a whole series from it, but I'll tie a 3.5. Let me put 3.5 because I'm definitely going to watch
it. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm around a 3.5 as well. I'm going to watch it too. But again, like I said, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get how you can make a show about him. But I don't think the Suicide Squad did that well as a movie where you want to do spinoffs of these characters either.
I mean, they did perfectly well and the audience seemed to like it.
Yeah, on the audience score. But that's because it had a fan base that actually liked it. But as far as like regular people, like they didn't, they're still recovering from 2016 Suicide Squad. They haven't gotten over that movie. And last, but certainly not least, I don't even know how many people actually know that they're coming out with a show called Moon Knight on Disney Plus.
What is it? Moonlight?
Moon Knight. It's Mika's face. This is like one of the more obscure superheroes in the MCU. But if you've seen the trailers, or the trailer that came out to Moon Knight with Oscar Isaac starring as Moon Knight, it looks pretty interesting. I'm not going to lie. And a lot of people compare this character to Batman in the DCU.
I can't rank it. I don't know enough about it. But I'm probably going to watch it. If it's MCU, I'm probably going to watch it regardless. So,
yeah.
I give it a 3.5.
Yeah, I have like no background on this character whatsoever.
Yeah, at all. I don't feel like it's fair to rank it.
Yeah. But Oscar Isaac.
I was just going to say Oscar Isaac. I do like him. And Ethan Hawke's in it too.
Yeah, they have a nice little cast. I mean, Disney MCU, they do such a great job of like putting together casts and directors and making it work. So that's gonna wrap up the anticipated movies for 2022. Now to our last segment of 2021 here, last episode 2021 that we're doing. Finally, I know, Tamika.
I'm having issues, with my camera.
Yeah, I know. We're going to end with this question. As a podcast, What is your New Year's resolution for us, the For Your Consideration podcast, as we move into the year of 2022?
I would like for us to sit down and develop a game plan of where do we see ourselves on For Your we're talking about for the show, right?
Yeah, for the show, yes.
Where do we want to be a year from now, and come up with, develop a game plan for how we want to get there?
Yeah, I would concur.
Okay.
And just like kind of recording more consistently, probably on a more consistent basis. And I know I definitely got to work more on social media.
Yeah.
Doing all that.
Yeah. Or we could just pay somebody.
We're not there yet.
Exactly.
I know. But I was thinking about, I was like, man, look, it's easy to hit the record button, man. It's hard to press the update status button.
Yeah, I just don't really like being on social media. That's my problem.
I know, yeah.
That's my issue.
Yeah, I'm taking a break.
But for you, our audience, we will try to be more consistent moving into 2022. We were doing good for a while. And then life got in the way. But yeah, just being more consistent. And hopefully, man, like I said, we ride this thing, you know, come into a, obviously we know that it doesn't happen overnight, but to at least get to a point where this could be considered a secondary source of income. That's ultimately what the goal is. I want to be walking down, you know, if, you know, obviously we're still going to be trying to make movies as well at the same time, but hey, we can still be walking down, you know, premieres and stuff, and interviewing the stars and doing press junkets and getting screeners of movies.
Another thing, if I may add on to that, I would really like for us to do like the film festivals that we've talked about. Like, I want us to
That's right. You're doing the film festivals.
Yeah, like a year from now, I want us to have at least gone to two, did a road trip at least, got, you know, environment, atmosphere permitting, politically permitting. But I want us to be able to travel, do a road trip. I would even like for us, like, when we have, eventually, when they get back to having like those community events, getting a table, creating a For Your Consideration banner sign, hanging it up, actually showing up, talking to people like, yeah, this is what we do. You know, just putting ourselves out there to meet people, network, and then allowing for people to meet us as well. And just being like, no, this isn't just a hobby. Like, we actually are very passionate about what we do and what we talk about. So, yeah. Let's try to plan at least one road trip to a film festival. I'm going to take credit for HorrorCon, even though it wasn't that great.
Yeah, you should take HorrorCon. And and we'll leave it there.
It was last minute.
No, HorrorCon was cool. HorrorCon was cool. Outside of the short film. But yeah, thank you to all of our listeners for staying with us throughout this entire year. I can't believe we've actually been recording a podcast for over a year now.
I know.
Like, that is an accomplishment.
It is.
Because a lot of podcasters out there, they start it and they only last a couple episodes and then that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But we have managed to do it. I know it's been inconsistent, but we have managed to do an entire year of recording podcasts, which is an accomplishment. And thank you to all the people out there that continue to listen and support us, our families, our friends, people that we don't know that listen to our podcast, because I don't even know who listens to our podcast, because I was at a funeral. I was at a family funeral. I think I told Tamika the story. I was at a family funeral and my cousin walked up to me. I did not know he listened to her podcast. I said, hey man, I listened to your podcast. He's like, I listened to it, you know, when I'm trying to decide what movies I want to watch. And I'm like, oh wow, that's pretty cool. So you never know who's listening to it. So, which is great. But again, thank you to everyone out there. Stay safe, guys, because we know that this variant is taking over. It's crazy out there. Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Stay safe.